The island of Puerto Rico is digging out from a staggering crisis. It's not just the hurricane. It's the $120 billion it owes in debt and pension obligations. Wall Street played a role in making the mess, and a federal judge in Manhattan is in charge of cleaning it up. As part of our series, Puerto Rico, the Future of Debt, we examine the connection between decisions made here in New York and the island's battered economy. Reporter Jane Sassine says the municipal bond market plays a starring role.
It didn't matter that the economy was tanking. People kept on buying Puerto Rico's bonds, and elected officials kept on borrowing to pay for everything. Things like school maintenance, year-end bonuses for public employees, and salaries for teachers and police.
From 1976 onward, each and every government would take loans in order to balance the budget so they could continue giving people what they wanted.
That's John Mudd, a lawyer who represents several local businesses and agencies in the island's bankruptcy. Sitting in a crowded cafe just off of San Juan's historic Plaza de Colón, he tells me the economy was stagnating and nobody in power was finding a way out.
The government kept on spending and increased spending in order to be reelected, and that's why we're in the mess we're in right now.
But Puerto Rico's situation is more complicated than corruption or inept politicians. Many believe the U.S. government shares some of the blame.
You can't discuss anything in Puerto Rico, particularly at the nation level, without understanding the context and the political relationship that the island has with the United States.
Natasha Bannon is a lawyer with Latino Justice, a civil rights group. She says Puerto Rico has been held back because it's a territory.
What does that mean? It means that for 120 years, Puerto Rico has been a colony. They've had absolutely no autonomy to decide things like their economic vision.
Many point out that the island's slide started in 1996, after Congress killed a tax break that encouraged U.S. manufacturers to build plants there. And that's where the bonds came in. Remember the island's $72 billion in debt? To keep the government afloat, successive administrations turned to Wall Street to fill the gap. Bankers invented ever more complicated and ever more expensive ways for Puerto Rico to borrow money. Carlos Cuevas is a bankruptcy attorney who sits on the Puerto Rico Task Force at the New York City Bar Association.
Essentially, by 2014, you could make a compelling argument that Puerto Rico was simply a Ponzi scheme, and that they were borrowing from people to pay debt service.
Kate Long, who does research on Puerto Rican bonds, says investors all across America eagerly snapped them up.
Puerto Rico is unique in that they can sell their debt to everyone in the United States, and all those investors get triple tax exemption, which is exemption from federal, state, and local tax. And that allowed them kind of have like unbridled ability to issue debt, or much more than most states would.
In fact, if you've parked some of your savings in a municipal bond fund, you probably own Puerto Rican bonds, too. So to really understand what's going on, sorry, we've got to get a little wonky here and talk about bonds. Not that one.
So a bond is basically an IOU. It could be a state, a municipality, some local government. And so if they need money, they will go out and raise money by issuing bonds.
That's Patrick Mohan, an analyst with Reorg Research, a firm that specializes in covering bankruptcies.
People would buy these bonds, and in return, they would be entitled to regular interest payments. And then after a period of time, when the bond matures, the government would be responsible for paying back the amount of that bond.
Sounds straightforward and pretty low risk. But in Puerto Rico, there were bonds for everything. They had lots and lots of plain general obligation bonds paid for out of general tax revenues. But there were almost 20 other types of bonds, each backed by a specific pot of money. Puerto Rico had bonds backed by sales taxes, bonds backed by highway tolls, and bonds backed by water bills. Another bunch of bonds were covered with the money that comes in when people buy gas, pay for electricity, or for the rents on public buildings. Puerto Rico even has bonds backed by rum.
When rum is sold in the United States, an excise tax is collected, and then a percentage of that is basically used to repay these series of bonds. So basically every time some Puerto Rico rum is sold in the United States, there's a collection of that amount and a portion of it goes back.
And for a while, it worked. The politicians got reelected and they avoided making hard choices about spending. The investment banks who helped the government sell all that debt made a fortune. When the bubble finally burst, Puerto Rico owed more than $20,000 for every man, woman, and child on the island. Four times the average elsewhere in the United States. Elias Gutierrez is a professor of economic planning at the University of Puerto Rico. From his apartment overlooking the ocean, he remembers it well.
It was not feasible. And eventually, like all bubbles in our capitalistic system, it exploded.
That was in 2015, the year Governor Alejandro Garcia Padilla announced that the debt could no longer be paid.
Considering the state of our economy, the debt is not payable. This is not politics. This is math.
After years of assurances that its bonds were safe, and that many were even guaranteed by the Puerto Rican Constitution, it was a bombshell that roiled the country and the bond market on Wall Street.
It was a shock, a real shock. Imagine you have a fruit bowl, but very expensive, with the best glass, and then it falls, and it breaks in millions of little pieces. That's what happened with our credibility.
For Gutierrez, the shock was also personal. He had predicted this. As an economist, he wrote about the dire consequences of ending the manufacturing tax breaks.
They were all negative. It was so clear.
In fact, he had been warning that Puerto Rico was on an unsustainable path for years, that it was too dependent on government spending. But even knowing that, he didn't foresee how bad it would become. And so, like many middle-class Puerto Ricans, he put a big chunk of his own savings into government bonds.
I bought what my broker said that was good because it was balanced and it was this and it was that and they were insured. and I believed. And my mind as an economist told me, this is not going to work. But I still believed it. I don't know why.
Gutierrez was forced to sell most of his bonds for a fraction of what he originally paid for them. Now, at 75, he doesn't know when he'll be able to retire.
It's a psychological blow, too, you know?
As the reckoning continues, a weary pessimism has set in. While older Puerto Ricans like Gutierrez contemplate diminished retirements, their children and grandchildren fear they won't be able to find jobs or to make lives for themselves on the island they call home. Jane Sassine, WNYC News.
Puerto Rico, the Future of Debt, is supported in part by the Jacob and Valeria Langloth Foundation, the Park Foundation, WNET's Chasing the Dream initiative, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.